Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world. Hello if you're on the podcast. It's the Galactic History Show. It's the second show for the week. I'm your host, Chris Hales, and we've got another action-packed episode for you today. Today we have both Andrew Bartis and Nikki Fetsy with us, and we're going to be covering off on some issues, some aspects, more aspects of human sexuality and sensuality, with a couple of guests giving their comments on their current relationship and their previous relationship. But first of all, let's bring in Andrew. How are you today, Andrew?
I am doing pretty good today, Chris. I have a bit of a sore throat, so I'm going to last as long as I can. But it's been very good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. Pretty well. Wow, what a week. So much stuff happening, actually. Great deal happening, and I think today is going to be just as eventful. But I'm you're in a river at the moment. You're commemorating the undamming of a river.
It was undammed last year. It was the Evenness River here in Port Angeles in Washington. It was the place where the largest salmon in the world were recorded, 125 plus pounds. When they dammed the river, the salmon couldn't go up the river anymore. Now that they finally undammed the river, you can actually see the salmon going up the river. So they undammed it last year, and now the salmon are actually running up the river.
Are they back to their original size, or is that going to take some time?
Oh, it'll take years to get back to that size. You won't find salmon in that size range because of overfishing.
Yeah, a shame as always.
Right.
But, you know, we're working on fixing things, so nature will take its course. Excellent.
That's right. Nature always takes its course now that the undammed the river, and you find it so, in its own way, pleasing to be at a river that's undammed now. And doing a show like this, after having a series of no-time experiences, and plenty of people that have personally shared what it's like living in no time, and for all those that are regular listeners, you know, we have a lot more to share with you.
Yes, and did anything significant happen with the group during their time? Did they, you know, reach a state of understanding as to what no time meant for them?
Oh, everyone had their own no time experience and more. Like yesterday, Tuesday's show. Six people from the Calgary area came, so there was definitely a Canadian connection there. As for no times, each person had their own experience, which was absolutely perfect for what they needed.
That seems to be the way that it works. It works very much at an individual and a group level. Having had that experience just recently myself, and it's As we've been discussing, it's like the converging of synchronicities on a continuous scale, which makes it a rather, it's quite different to any other particular thing. You look back on it, and it stands out as being quite a significant experience if you just kind of contrast it with the other group experiences that one has as you go through the years. So, very interesting stuff. And are you planning on doing more no time sessions at the castle?
We're leaving for Hawaii next, and we will do other no time sessions in other parts of the world. So it'll be very limited by specialty invite for those people that want to have the experience. Those people that were there, many of them are already sharing their experiences, as well as the privately for the people that experienced it separate. And with me right now is Larry Bazell and Katie Cherry, and I believe Nikki, are you there too?
Yes, I am here.
She's here. Hello, Nikki. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you. How about you?
I'm good. I'm just...
A lot of the full moon energy is going on, for sure.
So you were saying you've got a proper full moon happening at the moment, have you?
Yes, out here in the beautiful Sunshine State, California. It's definitely affecting a lot of people on a negative level, unfortunately.
Yeah, the full moon energy seems to bring out the somewhat the angst in people. They get quite anxious, and that's going on with you, is it, Nikki?
Not to me personally, but to other people around them. That just shows that they're not quite as they need to clean out more stuff from their closet.
Yeah.
Their mental capacity, emotional, have to be more stabilized. And that's like a yo-yo effect. That's what I call it.
Yeah. So the full moon energy brings out, you know, brings out the baggage for
them. It does. Mm. Because it's like this, it's like you have a balloon at this a normal state, right? The balloon is just nice and maintain its shape, okay? It could be stretch, it could be flexible. That's a human personality. It could be flexible, it could go any direction, it could, that's a happy state. When you start injecting pressure, that's air, forcing air into a balloon, it starts stretching. And it costs, that's the anxiety we're talking about, that tension, to a point where that moment where it's going to blow up. And that is human personality, where that's when they start blowing up and they start taking stuff out on you for no reason.
Mm.
Okay, and when you don't have to do anything. And their mental left brain capacity, the ability to analyze, the wisdom goes out the door because they're at that tension point where it has to blow. You know, like right now, since I've been on the show, my Wi-Fi, Facebook, name it, anything with electronic, just chaos. You know, I've been attacked with all the system. And so with all the Skype, I'm getting like even 8 hours delayed of information coming through Skype. And you're like, whoa. And then people get upset and they don't realize that. You know, that hello, maybe there's a problem there.
That I've heard that happening to others. In fact, I've heard of delays of days of data, and then a whole bunch of data comes through.
I've had it go a month later. Like right now, I'm getting so many messages on Skype. Messages from June are starting to appear now.
Fascinating. Now, do you think that's just that Skype is not dealing with the volume of stuff you're getting, or do you think it's a deliberate thing that's going on with both of you?
All of the above.
That is correct. Now, I would say more towards, I would say 70% is more on the direct attack, because I don't have, over 1,000 volume as Andrew. And but I'm still getting 8 hours delayed of information.
Yeah, I think
it's a direct attack.
Probably the best thing we can say for the listeners' purposes, for those who are trying to contact you, is please be patient and please use both Skype and email if you need to get a message to Nikki or to Andrew, just to make sure it gets through, because there is a lot of interference going on.
A lot of interference.
Yeah, and under continual attack from those who would rather this information did not get out there, particularly the human sexuality material.
Oh, yes.
it's of great interest to everybody. Look, and on that subject, let's bring in Katie and Larry, because what we wanted to do right at the moment is talk to a couple who've actually been practicing some of these things that we've been talking about in a relationship that's, well, I'm guessing a little here, but I think it's reasonably recent for both of them, but they've both obviously had previous relationships which were very much more, you know, I'd hate to call it traditional, but very much from the past. So, Andrew, is it possible to start with Katie?
Sure, Katie is right here. Okay. Katie Cherry.
Hello.
Good morning, Katie Cherry. How are you?
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Nikki. Hi, Chris.
Thanks for talking to us, Katie.
I like talking to you. Thank you.
Well, that's good. That's good. And look, the relationship that you have with Larry at the moment, how old is that relationship for you two?
We met at the Pink Workshop for Kiel Scott for 2 days in January.
January.
Yeah, we didn't really know each other. I mean, then I went to Mount Shasta with him. So, I mean, I'd say we'd known each other for a total of like 3 months. I'm old.
Well, 3 months is not that long relationship. So, Larry, you can actually hear us at the same time, can you?
Yep. Yes, I can, Chris.
Okay.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Nikki.
Very good.
Hi, Nikki.
Okay, so you two have been together only for a short time. You've both had previous relationships. I'm aware that Larry was married previously. Would you consider all of your previous relationships to be of, let's call it of a traditional nature, traditional being, you know, this the old paradigm type, and how different is the new relationship to the old? What's happening between you that really falls into line with the information that we're talking about, and anything else you want to comment on?
Yeah, well, it seems to me that most old paradigm relationships are based almost primarily initially on sex. Access to it and essentially permission to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And this relationship and these relationships are noted by an absence of that being the driving factor for being in the relationship. There's a different basis for it entirely.
Can you speak to that different basis?
Sure. The basis is creation. We want to create together. And understanding how you create together is basically what we're exploring. How do you create together? So it doesn't exclude sensuality, but at this point it doesn't include sexuality because none of us really have a clear sexual field. You know, that's part of the process of clearing our field, is clearing all the sexual program. And that one's pretty big, you know. There's a lot of that's been into our programming, I guess you want to call it programming. That's what everything is based on, selling it, controlling over it, who has control over it. Everything is sold through it, with it, with that energy through it. And so, you know, clearing those programs and returning it to its essence as energy without the program attached to it is part of what I'm exploring anyway. I'm not sure about everyone else, but that's my take on it.
So how are you going about clearing the old programs? Is that done by, you know, by ritual? Is it done simply by communicating with Katie about it, talking about it? Or is it something that's happening just internally?
Well, essentially, the process of clearing anything is essentially becoming conscious of it, that it exists, and welcoming in the teachers, the instructions, the data, the whatever process personally clears it best in you. And if you make a conscious quest for clarity, processing, clearing, understanding, then the information begins to appear in your field. And so long you're paying attention, you'll see it. In my case, Amelia Benz, we did about 16-hour relationship course covering all of these things in depth, energetically and informationally. And with that, I guess, set of, you know, since I am a little bit analytical, I like to get all of the little details about it and understand it from all of the little angles, get all the perspectives. From that angle, then, when something comes up, a program, which is essentially, I'm feeling a charge about this, I can look at where it is and what it originated from, why it's there, and then I can choose whether I want to keep that one or not. Because some of them you want, some of them you don't. You know, it's your choice to do what you want.
Yeah, so you have to work out whether the charge you're feeling. I think, is that when you're feeling tension about something, whether it's positive tension or a negative?
It's essentially you're feeling something causing you to want to react.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of reacting, you just go inside and look at that energy and where it is. What is, you know, what is that? Let it get big and let it express and see if it's really yours or it's somebody else's idea. And even if it is somebody else's idea, is it something that you agree with? It might very well be something that you want.
So essentially you're...
Just to interject here real quick,
sure.
What we're all working on here is coming together on a soul family relationship. And that was what Mount Shasta was about, was soul family coming together and working out the logistics of what it means to be soul family. But a soul family like this hasn't existed on this world for 350,000 years. So we're the new explorers with the new rules here. We don't have the human handbook that you didn't get at birth. We have to literally bring it out of the old paradigms that were lost and destroyed and rewritten. We got to do it with our heart-based discernment. And what Larry was talking about on processing is absolutely vital in any relationship. And what we've got going here between me, Katie, and Larry, and Nikki, and the others that come and go from the soul family is, what do we want to create together, and how do we continuously keep our fields clean so that our creation field is matching the rest of our energy fields, our emotional bodies, our spiritual bodies, our sensual bodies, our sexual bodies, though we may not be expressing those on an individual basis between each other, but we're still healing each other's background energies by keeping ourselves clean on an energy level and keeping ourselves in alignment with what it is we're creating. And what we're creating is places and spaces to have healing centers, places for soul families to come together so they can begin to experience their own known time field, their own energy field of what it is to be a part of a soul family that has a choice to make the world different for the individuals and for the collective. Mm-hmm. We're sharing this experience in a radio show so that the collective has an understanding. We're here to express parts of the new paradigm. We may not have 100% of the answer, but at least we're pointing in a compass direction that people's hearts based know is true.
Now, you're acting, you know, your role in the soul group is very much that of the shaman. And part of the role of the shaman, from what we've discussed privately, is to help others clear their fields for the purposes of the, you know, the running of the soul group, the success of the soul group. So how do you think the progress is going between Larry and Katie? What have you seen change about them and their field in the time you've observed this relationship developing?
It's not a relationship like that. It's a soul family expression.
Mm-hmm.
So relationship is the old paradigm word, and the new expression of this is soul family. Okay, relationships can evolve out of soul family and not be incestuous. We're at the very beginning stage of a soul family expression, which means each person comes to the table with the life that they've led before. And as they begin to examine the life they led before and how soul family is evolving in front of them, the question comes up is, what is it in my field that I can process on my own, and what is it that I need help with? In Katie's experience, it was having a large group of friends that weren't in complete alignment with her, and finding out what inside her was in alignment with them that wasn't in alignment, but vice versa, and also how it reflected into the group as it was coming together when it was very large. Because sometimes our little micro issues reflect the macro issue. What I see going on in the galactics right now is very much reflected in the soul family scenarios of people not fully expressing parts of themselves because of human programming. Not because of not looking at a subject matter or dealing with something that was a limitation or a fear. No, we've all become close enough in the last 12 weeks that we can identify when fear is being brought into the group, even on the most subtle level, and we can talk about it, and there is no domination or saying, I'm right, you're wrong. It is, you sit in the group and you talk.
And it sounds like one of the major issues, at least initially, is those relationships that you bring with you that you know, extend some sort of effect or influence into the group and how everyone copes with that or not.
Absolutely. People bring into the group. Once the group's in alignment, if anybody comes into the group with even the slightest part out of alignment, it's amplified 1,000-fold. And that person literally cannot be a part of the group. They will be removed from the group by themselves. Whether their actions speak louder than their words or their words speak louder than their actions, they will be removed by themselves simply because of what is not in alignment with them cannot bear the soul family energy, because the soul family energy is complete energy. And incomplete energy just doesn't function with it. We've seen this time and time and time again, where one person will have a fear that they won't process, and they begin to project it onto everyone else in the group. And everyone else in the group gives that fear back to that person 1,000-fold, because it's not in alignment with soul family purpose.
Mm. So any kind of artifact that's introduced into the group immediately is amplified way out of proportion to what it would be in some other kind of series of relationships.
Correct.
So you get a couple of days usually of time to understand that this is what's going to happen, and so prepare yourself and, you know, go seek your tools, do it, ask the questions that you need ahead of time. You know it's going to come, and we share it with them. And most of the time they don't really take it seriously, I don't think, because they descend right into 1,000 times whatever their fears are manifesting instantly. You know, when you're in this field, what you focus on appears quickly.
Mm.
And even quicker when you're in this configuration, you know.
You're in a no time field of manifesting co-creators. That means we create and co-create right away. We manifest in front of us. And time and time and time again, everyone here can, even Nikki can see, we literally can manifest in front of us a free vehicle.
Mm.
That's right, they paid us $200 to take away.
Yeah.
We wanted some gas money with our car.
Well, let's talk to Katie for a moment. I presume she can hear me still?
Yes.
Yes, very good. Nice to talk to you, Katie. Katie, you've obviously had previous relationships, and from all that we're hearing, you've entered into not just a relationship with Larry, but with a whole group of people. And the difference between that and, you know, previous ways of living, because it's really down to a way of living. It's not just, this isn't a temporary thing, this is what stretches before you. Can you contrast, you know, what you see is the biggest differences between what you did in the past and what's happening now?
Well, I would say that my relationships in the past really were based, like all my relationships were based on my worth. And what the soul family really reflects to me is that I am worth love, and I am worth accepting myself as I am and being given that space to go through my fears and process and regain that trust within myself. And my relationships of the past tended to reflect my worthlessness and the other person's worthlessness, and us kind of hiding out in the patterns and not really actually accomplishing what we wanted to.
Mm.
So,
sounds almost like a reversal of the past.
It's like it's creating the trust so that the energy is able to connect with my own love. Like I'm able to connect seeing that I kind of separated from myself or judged, and bring that into my own flow of unity, my desires, and not have the fear.
Yeah, and they used an interesting word there with judged, and I guess the inference there is that the only judgment that goes on inside the soul group is judgments that you decide to process yourself about yourself.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, that's exactly right, Chris.
Because that's
so
a big difference.
We all have a relationship. So the thing is, in soul family, we all have a relationship. There's no Larry, Katie, and Andrew, Katie, Larry, Andrew. It's not. It's a communal expression of a soul family relationship. So if Larry and Katie want to go off and process something, or just sit there and chitter chatter and tell jokes, and somebody else's other side of the room doing something else, there's a complete unity in that mind because we're all in a zone of trust. And that communal relationship out of soul family expression allows all of our crown chakras to be intertwined in a way that trust is created and procreated each time we share something, even if it's a meal or if it's a moment or sitting together doing a radio show. I have a very sore throat from this morning. You know, soul family stepping up to help, but, you know, during the no time experience where we needed an extra person to come and help drive while we were going out and taking people somewhere else. You know, each person does their part and instinctively knows when someone else needs help.
Yeah, what I'm finding, I'm seeing how important it is for people to be really, really aware of the process. And for there to be as much as possible, you know, an experienced hand helping people through the first parts of this, because of this, it is quite a significant difference in every way between the soul family situation and what we would deem in the past as being, you know, personal or family, close family bonds. Very different.
Well, yeah, it's a little bit like, in the old, what somebody would do to you would be something. And in this case, it's what you're doing yourself. You are doing it, and you're doing it as a... Yeah, this is a little hard to describe, but I think you'd see in the old relationship, if my wife didn't pay the bills, it would be her fault. We would have some blame and some shame and some guilt and some of that process, you know, and be fully in that experience of guilt, blame, and shame. And in this case, if Katie doesn't pay a bill... So what?
Yeah.
It is a straight note charging me. Don't pay the bill or pay the bill. You don't have ID? I don't care. Get it or don't. We want help getting it? Of course I'll help if you don't. That's your choice. And it's not, you know, all of the decisions are made based on a little bit different, a different choice point. Essentially, you're choosing the purpose of the creational relationship, and your actions are in support of that. And anything that's not in alignment with that can't stay in the field. So, it's like saying the same thing in three or four or five different ways. Katie can say it in a way that I used to need a translator because it would be in the divine feminine emotional language that it didn't come easily to me to express. And then spending time with her, sharing us saying exactly the same thing to each other, and arguing about it at first, like, no, this is what I mean. Well, no, this is what you said. It's like, I don't even get what you said. And, you know,
the shaman has to sit down between them saying, you're arguing about the same thing.
You're both saying exactly the same thing. It reminds me of our business plan. I don't know if I shared that or not. We had a business plan, organizational, structural plan. You know, who's going to do what, where, when? How do we organize projects? Who's going to be in this area and that area? And a bunch of lines and tape places to put names and, you know, assign responsibility and coordination without anybody being in charge, but still be able to track a coordinated effort with focusing on, you know, at that point we had, I think, 12 or so people in the field. And then I asked Katie if she would write a business plan, too, so we could look at them both and share them.
I made the mistake of saying, oh, I thought it was a multidimensional picture. And Larry's like, it is a multidimensional picture. What do you mean?
So we were arguing for about, 10 or 15 minutes. This was months ago. Well, it feels like years ago, but it was probably only a few weeks ago. 5 or 6 weeks ago. At any rate, Katie wrote our business plan, and she wrote a line on the paper and she said, what did he say? This is the planet.
Is the
this is the sky.
And it was lonely.
And it was lonely. So it was lonely and it created the earth. And the earth wanted to talk to the sky, so it created a tree. And the tree reached up into the sky and it had birds and leaves to go express how it felt everywhere. Yeah, so we got this picture of this tree in the sky and that's our business plan. And I'm looking at it going, oh, I really, really see it now. Actually not. I think I need a translation. We actually brought it to Seattle with us, and I gave it to our programmer who was going to put the business plan on a computer that we could share in a way that we could all understand it. I gave him both pieces, and he looked at them both, and he said, oh, they're exactly the same. And I said, oh, yeah? Tell me how.
I drew mine in a tree, and he did his in, like, a web flow chart, but it was, you put them on top of each other, it's a tree. it's exactly the same thing.
Hmm.
That's a perfect example. If you want an example, that would be a perfect example.
Well, that's definitely
how we got to that.
Definitely multidimensional, you know, just different expressions of the same thing. The statement Andrew just made a minute ago, the shaman stepping in. Andrew, how's it going to be practical for people to go down this path, given that we have quite a lack of shamans with experience who can step into this role? How are we going to do that?
Very good question. And to gain experience as a shaman, you must understand what the word is in the beginning. You know, the lightworker industry has multiple definitions of what a shaman is. But the most basic definition of a shaman is a person that has a ancestral land that they ritually practice and communicate with. It's its most basic function. So it's your everyday life. That's what being a shaman is. It's how you work with your lands. And people are a part of your lands. The most important part of the land is keeping it purified in such a way that the energy is progressing instead of being static or stagnant. So when it comes to the shaman and the soul group of configuration and the soul family configurations, his actual purpose is to not mediate disputes, but to identify the charges that people are getting off of them so that they could process on their own. And if you run into a process that needs assistance, you create a ritual of release for that person. That's the fundamental basics of a shaman. If you run into more and more difficult processes, you need to create a healing path. That healing path is about daily cleansing of your energy field, your aura, your outer aura and your inner aura. That's inside your body and that which you're broadcasting outside of you. And the shaman's purpose is to recognize what the people are speaking and what the energy behind their words is. When you look at that basic function, the shaman's purpose is to be a translator of the energy in such a way that the two people in disunity for that moment can see that there is a unity force, which is the shaman, helping them see that the energy they're creating charges with is the actual subject matter to tackle and not the actual argument itself.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Now, one of the pictures that's forming in my mind is if you've ever seen any documentaries, good documentaries or movies about community life, rural community life in the past, you notice there always seems to be a figure in the picture who's, if you like, the mediator, the person who understands how to process problems. And sometimes it's the quartermaster or the manager, or you know, there's always someone playing that role of making the community actually work in a positive fashion, and also involved with, you know, directly with the land. And I guess what we're looking at there is, you know, what became of the shaman role over a long period of time, or at least what we as a culture are allowed to have, based on the records we've got, we're allowed to put out in media at this point in time. And it strikes me that those people still, you know, I think there's people around who are inherently like that and will probably step into those roles without even knowing it as time goes on. Well, they will know it eventually, but they'll step into it without really knowing why.
They're already doing that on a different scale. The thing is, when you come into a soul family configuration, the shaman, and this is where Nikki and I have had some severe differences with the lightworker community, where these people call themselves a shaman, they call themselves a healer, and yet they do none of their own healing work. They give until they're broken, and then they try to continue to give and give and give, when in fact they're giving broken energy to broken people, making their lives worse. And that's where the shaman in the soul family configuration can do the most harm, because his energies are amplified a thousandfold, and the advice that he gives is amplified a thousandfold, and the soul family will reject him in such a way, that person in such a way, that if they don't confront their own fear, their own envies, their own jealousy, their own hurt beings, the shaman will suffer the greatest and go through the massive polarity switches, which we see regularly, which is light workers gone bad.
Mm. Physician, heal thyself.
That's right.
Fascinating. So Larry and Katie, how, I mean, you obviously, you both sound very happy with the situation and the progress you've made. Now, what work do you think you still have to do, or do you think you've reached a symbiotic situation that can flow forward from this point?
Well, what I feel that the healing of what Soul Family is this, and why, because I'd look at people that came and go, or how I would be able to heal like this, and I'd wonder, well, why did I get this situation? And the only thing I kept coming to is that I said yes at a really deep level. I wanted to heal. I wanted to be better, and I wanted to follow my dreams more than I wanted to be in disunity and follow all those patterns. And so when you come into a Soul Family configuration, I'm not quite sure what that means, my terminology, but to me it means saying yes to being in unity. And so when you come up with a charge, or because there are times where I wanted to run away from Soul Family, and I decided that they were like horrible, and I don't know, it didn't really make much sense. And what I ended up coming down to is that I got a charge from someone that was involved with us at that point, and then I would be reacting to that based on my deep parts that I wasn't quite sure I wanted to bring to the light. I wanted to, you know, keep my little secret hermit Katie deep caves going on inside. And I would notice that and then make another choice to acknowledge that and feel the love over the separation. And I would think Soul Family is kind of bringing all the parts of ourselves and our souls into oneness through different people, maybe playing a different instrument, but it's all our own orchestra.
Katie, there's an openness that is required in this situation, which a lot of people would initially find hard to do, because a lot of relationships are based on keeping things from one another, unfortunately. Because that's what I was finding last weekend, interacting with all the folks at Lake Conjola, that they were very, very open and willing to be vulnerable for the purpose of gaining from the situation. That seems to me what you're speaking to as well, that you were feeling vulnerable, and that new feeling of deliberately making yourself vulnerable was part of what you were processing.
You know, Chris, yeah, go ahead.
No, you keep going.
No, what Chris said is hit it right on the bullseye, because it is about surrendering. Before you surrender, one must trust oneself first. Okay, it's not about trusting other people. You can't trust others until you trust yourself. And when you trust, allowing yourself to surrender, that means you are allowing yourself to get hurt, to be looked at in the most vulnerable aspect, the ugly part of yourself that you cannot even look at. That's why we have this dark closet that we keep stashing, part of our mistakes and what have you. It'd be from thoughts, our words, our actions, throw it all in that closet, and finally it has to explode. You have to deal with that. Okay, it's a have to. It is vital, because when you don't, that is when the illness manifests, the actual physical illness. That's how you get cancer, liver cancer, name it. Depends on where you process your energies. Some people like it as in form of anger, so it goes into your liver. Okay, and what Katie's done is, I'll put another example for those of you who don't understand a lot of the spiritual technical words that Andrew is talking about. Soul family and configuration is nothing more than just your own family, your blooded family that you were born in, okay? Except in this case, with the soul family in unity, because you're joining in that, you know, in the energetic aspect. But soul family, you're not connected by blood in the 3D in this world. You're united from many past lives together, so you're working on and a higher level of consciousness. It also means that, yes, you are exploring. They're here when you trust them, if you allow them to trust, you know. They're holding each other's mirror and say, hey, take a look at yourself. You know, like Larry and Katie, they were, you know, when they do business planning, they were saying the same thing. But everyone have his or her own definitions, connotations, okay, word that they use based on their experiences. But ultimately, it's you know, it's the same goal. It's like your own family, what are they trying to reach? It's to buy a home, have stability, okay? And that's what they're working towards. And I'll put that in a business term, okay? Think of it, you are in a big Walmart company. You need to have the CEO, and you need to have the, you know, and the CEO can be the shaman, okay? How do you configure it? Configure it meaning, okay, Katie is good in maybe administration, and Larry is great in the technical. Where and how do we put them together, and how can we better create some kind of communication system that would allow for them to work effectively, okay, and openly? And that means if Katie is not being open completely to what she's doing and Larry is not, then they cannot efficiently be transparent and share. Because as a company, for it to grow and vibrate, as to reach the ultimate goal, right, for Walmart is to what? Sell, right? It's all about sales. So if that is the ultimate goal for a soul family, is to join an energetic work in one, like pieces of puzzle form together, it becomes a whole picture. That's a completion, okay, on the etheric level. And that's what they're talking about, the soul family, connecting. When you are can connect and agree on the same higher consciousness level, it's like piece of the puzzle, if you will, is that energetically from each one of them comes together and form this giant piece of puzzle. And there you have it, a completion. If you have a complete piece of the puzzle, can you actually see the pictures, the image of, you know, on the puzzle? Of course you can. Okay, when you are not in unity consciousness, scatter, disseminate pieces, and therefore you can't see the image, you can't see the full picture. There is incompletion.
Mm. So I guess it's up to the shaman to help people recognize, you know, where they fit into the jigsaw.
Mm-hmm. Because that requires him or her to have the intuition abilities. And that, and the soul family group will also determine how effective is the shaman. Okay, if the shaman is, you know, AA degree versus, you know, bachelor, master, or PhD level of how far he or she can expand their vocabulary of galactic history, information, method of healing, then they're going to be limited. They can only get certain information.
Mm.
Okay, so limitation is not a good thing. It is better to be expansive and try to stay on neutral ground, because then you can be observer and then redirected without biases and ego, because those things limit you from expansion.
Yeah, well, so that's the other thing that came up last weekend. There was, you know, no ego in the room at all. You know, these were people who, most of whom had never met one another before, but none of them felt they had anything to prove. There was no, the usual, you know, measurement and judgment going on that people who are strangers to one another in a lot of ways go through when they first meet, while they're all trying to, if you like, even the term size one another up, you know, is mine bigger than yours, etc. And the term when we're having discussions, we're all actually recognizing these characteristics that were going on, because that was part of the discussion. Why did it feel different? And the term holding a mirror to one another actually came up in discussion, that exact term. But not doing it in a negative sense, just doing it in a non-judgmental, you know, here you are kind of sense. So almost like, here you are, is there anything about yourself that you want to actually fix, almost, rather than here's what's wrong with you, you should fix yourself.
Right, and when you say non-judgmental, all it means, okay, it is such a harsh word because we put so much emotional attachment to it and negatively. Non-judgmental, it means that you're not using your personal experiences and to define it, okay? Looking at things objectively, just by looking at it for what it is. So if that is a car that you're looking at, it is nothing more than, let's say, a Ford four doors car. Sedan, okay? Being judgmental or subjective, the connotation describe the object itself is that is a beautiful or ugly looking car that I have ever seen. That's a judgmental aspect that comes from your personal experiences, okay? So the hard part is to get rid of the emotion and look at the object for what it is. And it takes training. takes training, a lot of processing in your head.
I'm getting the picture of the shaman, you know, working from neutral ground, and everyone else learning to do that, and you know, having that as their objective, doing that. Andrew, is that a really important part from your perspective of actually in the role of a shaman, is, you know, maintaining neutrality?
Absolutely. Not only maintaining neutrality, but maintaining relationships with each of the individuals in a neutral manner and still being myself. That may allow some level of polarity, because you cannot live on the razor's edge of neutrality 24/7, 365. It's the nature of disunity world. When I create a no-time field and they're all a part of it, they have endless amounts of opportunities to process their own systems that are within inside them. And as they begin to go through the various processing, it's the shaman's duty to look at them and allow them to make mistakes, especially if you see that a set of things are going to happen that can ultimately negatively affect them in such a way that... Hold on a second, I've got some... and if you don't allow them to make those mistakes, you find that you hit the easy button for them, and then they don't do anything at all on their own. They expect you to do it for them, or expect you to tell them all about it.
So it's can become somewhat of a Zen experience there, where you're trying to stimulate them to work it out themselves, but within a directed fashion by you, just to nudge them into the right approach to the process.
Yeah. Sorry, I had to hit mute there for a second. Say that again.
Yeah, the you know, the role of the shaman is not to spoon feed, but to, if you like, trigger people in the right direction in their thinking so they can learn to self-process. Because you couldn't handle... I mean, it's difficult enough handling people anyway, but if you had 15, 20 people, and we must talk about how big these soul groups can get too, if you have a large group of people, you don't have enough time and energy to be spoon-feeding people at all. You want them to be independently processing, recognizing and processing themselves.
Yeah, that's why you a lot of times you put it in question format, even though you know everything. You know, you see it so many different dimensions. You still have to place it in a question format, and you're just guiding. We can be here and give the most powerful healing, but ultimately it is up to individual to accept and do their own healing because of the free will.
In this instance where we're going to a balanced divine masculine, divine feminine situation, you know, would you expect that there'll be, you know, a fairly equal number of male and female shamans actually acting in these roles in the future? That would make sense, would it not?
Absolutely. In the configuration we're in right now, I'm acting as the central, but both Larry and Katie have stepped up into their own divine masculine and divine feminine and have been in the no-time field long enough that they're stepping into their multidimensional power. Larry is, if you can sit just about anyone in front of Larry and he can go through the fear process and limitation expectation and get a person into understanding the types of charges that they're creating in their own energy field, whereas Katie can get directly to the love of a person, and that's one of both of their special talents. And as the soul family configuration grows and changes and modifies, everyone will be their own shaman, because a shaman lives on their land and knows what's
yep.
going on in their land. The land is your heart and your discernment of what's going on in your space.
I had those. Yeah, as soon as you start to talking, two things came to me. First of all, that it's foolish of me to assume that the shaman role will be taken up by a male or a female. Would not the shaman role also be taken up by partners, by male-female role? Would that not work better? And, of course, the other obvious thing is that people will learn to be their own shaman. Let's call it learning to be their own leader, which is a subject that's come up a lot in discussions about how this whole new paradigm works, where we have no leaders because it comes from within. Well, that's the shaman role.
Yeah, and that comes with great responsibilities as well.
Well, we're trying to achieve a situation, to move to a situation, where everyone is truly self-responsible. So I'm actually seeing now... more about how this soul family actually reflects right across the community, right across the world. Because under the circumstances we're discussing, why on earth would you elect anybody, anywhere, to represent you or to be your leader and tell you what to do? You just wouldn't do it. That puts an end to all forms of representation and politics right there. Bang, done.
And, you know, y'all kind of blew my mind a little bit when y'all talked about, because I don't remember exactly what you said, but the reason that I haven't been understanding Larry clearly, it's not that me and Larry are so different, that he communicates differently than I do, and so I'm still trying to hide from him. I'm still trying to put him in different places that I can understand him, and putting up a facade and not seeing Larry clearly, because I'm still kind of in fear on different levels. Because Larry's standing right in front of me being Larry, and it's me not hearing him clearly because I'm going, well, what if he da-da-da-da-da, you know?
And, you know, Katie, that is what we're talking about, taking responsibility. And you've done an amazing job about that, to recognize within yourself that, okay, I'm taking the responsibility to go within myself, okay, and to surrender, allowing, giving myself permission to see within my own heart, where's my insecurity? And, yeah, Larry is just being Larry, right? And no judgment or something, you know, coming from him. He's not projecting that. He's just speaking his truth from based on his experiences. And then you who feel insecure, you know, if people who are not responsible, the person would probably be more reactive. Like, hey, that's what you're saying is very, you know, offensive, and you know what you're saying is not right, and blah, 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 blah. You see what I mean? So yeah. When you're responsible, you're like, okay, let me check my own place. Where am I coming from? Where is this insecurity coming? Okay, and is it because I feel like maybe my personal experiences in work or life is not up to par to Larry's, so therefore I feel inferior, you see, and that's where the insecurity comes from. Maybe I feel like I'm just not good enough for him at whatever level that may be, you know what I mean? So there's more to the feeling that you have for the person, so you really have to go deep and deep within yourself. And that's part of the awakening and enlightenment process.
There's an interesting...
That's part I wanted to add real quick. Part of that is acknowledging and understanding that there is no situation that would occur in this grouping that I would intentionally or purposely be doing something out of alignment with my own self or saying something that would be intentionally designed to hurt or judge anyone within my soul family, and especially. So you know already... You have the safety from the set point of whatever it is that I heard, it wasn't designed to attack me, to move to introspection from, to move to where is my charge from. It's my responsibility to deal with how I feel. It's sort of like you understand what I'm saying? A new way of looking at what somebody just said to you. Oh, it wasn't. There's any way that was intended to attack me.
There's something else about soul family. When soul family comes together, 95% of what we all want is the same thing. We just may express it a little differently. And we, me, Larry, and Katie have all seen this as the various people have come and gone from the configuration. When people come together, they want to do the same thing. The soul family is literally, you've separated intensities to the way we're here to experience the same type of consciousness experience. Though we may perceive it a little different, the results are still the same. And like the purpose for going to Hawaii is to go and have the experience of all the people, that the soul family that's reuniting there and has been asking us to come there for quite some time. And Nikki's going to be coming to this Hawaii trip also, and has added a whole new layer to it because, you know, Nikki has been away from the soul family yet still in full communication with us. I mean, we all talk regularly. We've done webinars together. We've expanded our creational ability and not allowed the limitations of separation to affect us.
One of the things I'm detecting here is that
we also communicate telepathically too, just so you know.
Well, that helps.
we don't sit and talk every day. It's just when we do, the moment that we have talking in 15 minutes is like equivalent to like 5 hours worth of talking. Because when we communicate, it's a higher level communication. Whereas, you know, other people, 5 hours, like you still feel empty, like feel incomplete, you know. But when Andrew and I, we talk for even 15 minutes, half hour, we feel a bit, we feel more like complete at a different level.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah,
and then
there's a whole lot of higher level stuff going on all the time in this configuration. Mm-hmm. And the interesting,
well, yeah, you're meeting the configuration. I think there's going to be a whole lot of higher stuff going on.
Yeah, that's, well, actually, am I wrong in saying that Nikki would also be acting, because of the level that she works at, she would step into the role, at least somewhat, of actually acting as shaman for the group as well as your own self, Andrew? Would that not be true?
She already does.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect syncopation of concepts.
Mm.
It's like music, you know. It's its own expression of harmony and perfection, because I can finish Nikki's sentences and she can finish mine, vice versa, as can many of the people in the soul family. And when Nikki is in the physical presence or the spiritual presence or the phone presence, she's completing her part of the soul family circuit. And that circuit is providing advice on a spiritual level, on a telepathic level, just on a you go, do good job, you know, so on and so forth, or helping us with the ancestral karma, or just sitting there and having a conversation that completes some other part. So does she fit that part instantly? Because that's just her nature, as is my nature and as is Katie and Larry's. And when we're come together at this type of soul family configuration, the final outlook is everyone's a shaman and everyone shares skills, so everyone is on equal levels. And if one person wants to specialize, like I specialize in the galactic history, you know, Nikki specializes in the medical intuition and the karmic and ancestral healing, as well as the other off-world stuff that we work with. We complement each other because of our specialties.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it's like dancing. It's just like dancing. It just flows.
Yeah.
There's no fights. There's no differences. We're the same. Same of the, you know, each other on the opposite side of the coin.
And yet, what I'm feeling, there's a thought I'm trying to form in my mind here. There's a real, apart from the complete acceptance of one another, there is a real allowance. You make space for others to process their energy. It's not just about them processing themselves, but you're allowing them space within the soul family to process, acknowledging that that's going on, just so that it can happen without just the process itself creating friction. And, you know, that to me, that's a really vital thing, really vital thing. Because that doesn't exist in a lot of families. They just don't give one another that kind of respect, in fact.
Yeah, that's why it's called soul family. That's where you connect on a higher conscious level. You know, now, however, there are some special family, unique family, that do have this kind of conversation with their children. And that is the new trend that's coming. And I like to propose having a teleseminar that's coming up. I'm not sure when, but I will definitely let you guys know, is to have conversation with mom, indigo children, crystal children, how, and just normal children, how to communicate with them, you know, on a higher conscious level. And I had that one conversation today with some of the kids, and they were just like loving it, you know. And kids love it, parents love it, and they just keep on growing. And that's how we educate. We got to educate the children at a young age, train them, embrace them into the right way, rather than if we allow them to continue into adulthood, they will surely become just like us, you know, contaminated with the old program mindsetting. That is, it takes longer period of time to deprogram that, as they ingrain it into our DNA level.
Yeah, well, into a soul family will ultimately come children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's given that the whole of the collective is going to go through some rapid changes in the not too distant future. You know, the mm-hmm. children have to come into this equation all the way along the line. So we all have a lot of learning to do.
Yeah, children is our future.
Mm.
They are our future.
Speaking of which, can we ask Katie and Larry whether they see children in their future together?
We have one. He's like, how old is he?
He's 39.
39. What's his name?
Well, his name's Andrew.
Ah, okay.
We just forgot to get it timed right.
Uh-huh.
Well, I time traveled after,
So.
It was actually.
So.
He thinks we're funny. We're number one.
Uh-huh. Fair enough. Well, hopefully you'll have some of the other variety at some point. And that, I mean, the life that a child would leave in a soul family grouping, you know, especially the first 5 years of its life, would be a completely different experience to a you call it like a, old paradigm family. Quite different. Completely different, actually.
Do you think Larry and I are in a romantic relationship?
Sorry?
Were you wondering if, like, I'm kind of confused. I kind of thought that maybe you thought me and Larry were in a romantic relationship.
Well, I did. Is that me just applying my old paradigm interpretation filters?
Well, that's a lot of words, and I think that I guess you could use those words, but I wouldn't make it so intense. But, like, yeah, we're just. That's kind of what I like so much about Larry,
is
that we are kind of really like that.
Well, there you go. There's a lesson for me right there. Absolutely. I mean, it seems to me the old rules don't apply. I've fallen straight into the trap. Bingo.
Well, it just brings up just how having a male, work together, we're like. It's not because I'm wanting to get my kicks or go out for a nice dinner. It's like, oh my gosh, you dream of unity consciousness and helping the world. Me too. Let's work together. And it's like that pure intent that drives the entire relationship, and with it being a pure intent, when I have issues come up and I don't fall into the little patterns of making out and having sex, which makes things more confusing, then it allows me a safe place process with both families without deciding they're evil in any way.
Well, see, there's that level of respect again, because the old style of relationship was very much involved. A physical relationship gets very much drawn into. It's almost used a lot as leverage in a relationship, and the ebb and flow around it was always there's always an issue, not an issue. There's an aspect of conflict around it a lot of the time. And I'm sort of standing from the outside looking at you guys and saying, wow, that's quite a pure relationship then, in the sense that it has a simplicity to it. That would probably be very refreshing, actually. But at the same time, you guys seem to be really, really close.
Oh, yeah, we are very, 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 very close.
Mm.
But if we were in game, we would probably punch each other.
Yeah, she doesn't. It's hard to understand what she's saying.
Okay. Well, on that note.
Well, when the process that you're in is creating new relationships, you essentially could start with what I went down to the river a moment ago and got, which was a handful of brand new clay from the new river that's freely dammed and it's sitting here in front of us, ready to be formed into whatever shape and form pleases us right now. And I guess I can take a picture and I'll post it, but it's pretty awesome. It has a door, it has a stair, and it has a ramp, and it has a whole bunch of arms, it has a pine cone, it has a moat made out of, what is that?
Sticks and rocks.
Okay, that's my interpretation. What do you see?
It's a moat with a bridge.
I mean, what is the whole formation?
I think it's our shaman soul family hut.
Our shaman soul family hut, see? I see, that's the point of co-creation, in a sense. We bring our many perspectives to the same thing. And the perspectives that we haven't considered, they bring as well. And so all together, our perspectives create a reality, and a more durable and reality more in alignment with what we're actually consciously thinking. And in the soul family group, it's even more obvious, because on millions and millions and millions of years of levels of life, we've already essentially agreed to the basic foundational. Do you think it would be fun to go sit at the river? Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
we don't have to ask. In a sense, we all agree on a lot of things. 95% of the things, as Andrew had mentioned, already are in complete alignment. It's the 5% of the stuff that we may have brought to here that we're essentially purging and clearing through the tools and the people that we work with. So I saw one thing, Katie saw another thing. Now I can see that that's a hut, our shaman hut. And I can see how we can build it. She can see it. We can visualize it. Andrew can see it. We can make it real.
Mm. When you take the someone's against me, this person's against me, oh my God, against me against the world out of it, then the Kill Scott said once, she said that everyone is saying I love you, even your worst enemies. They're just telling you in a way that you don't understand yet.
Wow.
Look, a very clear message there from both of you. Thanks so much for sharing and being so open about it. Now, this is new territory for everybody. And the only way we can understand it is to communicate about it and bring these things out. But, as usual, no time is going to be interrupted by a song break. Because we need to let people go and grab a glass of water and do whatever they need to do. And that would include you guys for a couple of minutes. But don't fall in the river.
Maybe I'll go swimming.
Yeah, Mary has a bathing suit on.
Oh, very good, very good. Right, a quick dip then. Andrew, are you still with us?
Barely here. My voice is starting to crack a lot now.
Okay. All right, we'll take a music break, and after that we'll work out what we're going to do next. We'll see you guys
I got another 15 minutes of voice probably, and then we have Dickie, Katie, and Larry here, and this has been an outstanding show about Soul Family. And I've gotten these questions before psychically. What does this have to do with galactic history? Absolutely everything.
Mm.
Soul Family is the fundamental understanding of how we function in reality. And the galactic history completely reflects that we have perfect soul families in the past, and this information hasn't been allowed into our presence for 400,000 years. And if you're going to function with a soul family, you need to allow that to be present and show you how it works.
Indeed. Well, that's what this show is doing. It's beginning that process.
That's right.
Very good. Okay, everybody, we'll see you in about 4 minutes. And Andrew, better grab a drink. Keep that voice going for a little bit longer. See you in a minute.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
And we're back. Hi, everybody. Are you guys still with us?
Yes, we are. We're just relocating a tiny bit to get out of the sun for a moment. So we're walking.
Very good. Are you guys operating from a phone or from a laptop?
Well, we have a laptop that the phone's plugged into to keep it charged up. So our laptop is a big battery.
Yeah, fair enough. Is Andrew, Andrew, you still there?
He will be in a sec.
Yeah, well, just while we're waiting for Andrew, I just wanted to just reflect on one thing for a moment, that although the idea of soul family for me is only months old, they're talking about circumstances amongst a group of people that are quite specific and very special. And we all have in our lives, I hope we all have, times, memories of weekends, of dinners, of an afternoon with family that just seems so special that you can't quite put your finger on it. Why did it actually feel so good? Why did it work so well? And I think if you look back on it and analyze it, you'll probably find it's brushing up against this concept of the way that a soul family interacts. And that is something to look forward to. But, it, you know, obviously there is a learning curve to this, and we just have to be open to it. So, Andrew, Katie, you're obviously there. Hello?
I think what I really noticed is that I have this, I always talk about the dream in my heart, that I came in and everyone has a dream in their heart, and I have this dream, and I would look at all the people around me and try to make it work, and it never would, and I felt very defeated. And so what I would tell people about finding soul family is to follow that dream, that part of you, your joy, your light, your love, because that dream you have isn't for nothing. It's a purpose. It's your purpose. And as you follow that, then you will connect with your soul family, because you already are with your soul family in your heart. Because they are you. You all share everything.
Yeah. Beautiful. I even understand
that.
Without a translator.
That was beautiful.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you.
Very, very nice. Well, they're still gathering into a safe place out of the sun.
Yes, we are under the big bridge at the foot of the mouth of the river right now. Absolutely beautiful, a nice cool breeze here instead of getting cooked in the sun.
Hmm. Yeah, there's only so much sun one should have in a day, that's for sure. Although you do need some. So how are the salmon doing? Are the salmon actually running at this point in time where you are?
Well, this time of the year, there'll be humpies and those kind of sockeye would be coming up. But this river, there's large king salmon. It's just like this river is right now cleaning out all of its ancestral karma, I guess you want to call it. It was dammed up with no fish ladders. It was illegally made, the dams, in the first place. And the headwaters of this entire river is a national park. And so the entire upstream from here is all park. So it hasn't really been molested too much. So all of the sediment and everything behind the two dams that were here, whose purpose was to provide free electricity, well, you know, basically free if the company that built it recovered their cost, which they did a long time ago, to produce paper to cut down the forest. Kind of a funny circle.
Mm.
Anyways, yeah, the dams are gone and the sediment is clearing out. It'll take a few years for it to clear out its ancestral karma, I guess. And then it'll go back to regular. And the 120-pound king salmon can run up the river again. They need to be that large because it's so far up the river. They need a lot of strength to make it up the falls. They need a lot of strength to make it up the tight, narrow river that goes a long, 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 long way to bring the ocean into the forest.
Mm. I presume that's because they need certain conditions in terms of water depth and temperature and so forth to do their breeding.
Well, their breeding spot's way, 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 way far into the forest. And the purpose of a salmon in one aspect is to bring the nutrients of the ocean, which can't come through rain, all the way to the center of the forest where the animal's in there, bring them out of the stream and into the forest.
Hmm.
So they travel, they follow their path, and they find a place where they bring joy, light, and love to another space.
Yeah, and salmon pass on in the river, they bring the nutrients of the ocean, like Larry was saying. It's completing a cycle of life. So the ocean does truly exist on the land.
Mm. I've never heard it expressed that way before. That's gorgeous, actually.
And I wanted to say before we, you know, move forward that our blood family, love is our soul family. It's not that it's these specific people or it's that we have to go outside ourselves and find it, that love is our soul family. Like my parents that I was born to, my family, as I've gone on my journey, I've become more connected with them. I've been able to see them more clearly because I love them. And it was hard for me when I wasn't positioning myself with my own love and accomplishing my own dreams to hear their love, and they're part of my journey. And
Katie,
when you go to this love app, go ahead, Katie.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, how are your current DNA family, how are they viewing this change in your life and in you?
Well, like my dad, one time we were sitting on the couch and my mom told my dad maybe he should listen to what I had to say, and he said, I'm not going to understand anything she has to say anyways, but okay. I'm from Texas and they definitely are like that, but they love me, and the way they've helped me so much because they've provided the space for me to learn a lot of lessons of this unity in a safe place with people who at their core love me, and I'm more prepared for this journey from the struggles I went through as a child because in a way they were providing that safe space, that protective place for me to learn that with people who instinctively are my parents, and they followed their agreements, and I'm so grateful to them for loving me so much, because if it wasn't for that deep soul love and them encouraging me to not completely give up on life and, you know, kind of nursing me along with a piece of cheese almost.
Yeah. Do they at least acknowledge that you've changed and that you're happy?
They notice that they would say, because I pretty much beat them up to the point that they're just like, she's happy. She sounds happy. She seems like she's doing something good. So we support that. Just do that, Katie.
And have you got any brothers and sisters, Katie?
Yeah, I have a younger sister and brother.
And how are they handling your shift in direction?
From where I was in my life, my whole family is just happy to see me doing something and being happy because they were pretty much afraid I was going to die or worse for a good portion of my past few years. So to them, a relief, and it's almost like they get to be free because they don't have to hold the space of supporting someone who's scared to go love herself.
Wow. Look, thank you for sharing that, Katie. That is really exceptional. Really appreciated. And Larry, how is your family? Because you've got, you know, you do have, an ex-marriage, and how is the rest of your family, your DNA family, what sort of comments are they making on observing you make this change?
That's a pretty interesting story. I have a very large extended family as a member of the Macaw tribe, and so everyone in the tribe is family DNA-wise, with many layers of cousins, nieces, nephews, uncles, aunts, everyone's uncle, cousin, or something in some form, through some way, some marriage, some, you know, all these ways. And so my biological family on just my mother's side, which is the tribal side, is enormous. And if anyone has ever grown up in a small town, they know what the small town dynamics can be. Well, if you add in small town and DNA family, some of whom are here to provide contrast, you can start to get an idea of what it's like. Where my experience of it, though, is different, I think, than many would probably have, is that the information doesn't even enter my field. All of the, I guess we call it the, what is it when people talk about other people? What do they call that?
Gossip.
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 Yeah. The gossip field. So it's like with almost like amused, joshing, really? That's what they think? That's what's going around town? I can't believe that. I wouldn't ever imagine that in a million years. I'm pretty much, you know, in a cult, of course. You know, there's all of the fears that you can imagine. I'm in a cult. I'm wondering whose cult it was, but nobody has a name for that, of course, because there is no place. There is no cult. Mm-hmm. There's just a truck when we travel and have a good time and meet a lot of people and enjoy our life. We're, you know, most, how do you explain it? Most of it and all of it is essentially projecting their own fears into the experience. So what they observe is something they would really actually enjoy. I would really like to go do what I want with who I want, when I want to, wherever it is that I want to do it. And that's a pretty big statement for many people because there are so many things limiting them from doing that. So in order to remain happy in the dream, not dream so much, happy in the reality that has been created for them, they have to not do any of those things.
And it's difficult sometimes because that's the way of people processing that aren't necessarily on their own path is to project your fear onto someone that you view as you, like your family members. So you project all of your fears on them and want them to, you subconsciously want them to process it for you. But when you know that someone in your family is doing that, then you're more able to recognize that you don't have to take that on. Like, that was a big part of me, is instead of seeing my parents as these authority figures that I have to do what they say, seeing them as people with their own emotions and their issues that are acting from a state of love. Like, and it's not, you know, kind of encouraging myself to do what makes me feel good and not just be like massive victim.
Yes, yeah, well, that must be a relief for you, as you said, Katie, for your parents and family that, you know, you've, because obviously you've stepped into an area of self-responsibility as well. It's not just that there are others around you, you know, supporting you that are not them, but you're actually lifting yourself.
Yeah, and really the biggest change for me has been like, oh, can I do that? Can I really do that? Oh, like, I can? Nuh-uh. Are you sure? Really? I'm going to project on Larry now. Like, oh, no. Oh, really? And it's like, yes, I can. My heart is correct. This is my path. I'm going to give myself a chance.
Really cool. And Larry, the people are closest to you in your family, the ones who have a better grasp of what's going on with you. Obviously, some of the family members around you are viewing this as just some kind of strange situation that Larry's got himself into, no doubt. But the ones that are more aware of the details and understand it a bit better, how are they feeling about it?
Well, there are none. I have 1,000 or 1,500 family members, and the ones that do, actually, I can see the glimmers of it in the posts that they like on my Facebook page, because the tribe, you know, as a whole, we all pretty much are friends with everybody on Facebook. And so you could start to see who's in alignment a little bit with some of these thoughts through the posts and the shares and things like that. And so it's growing a bit. And then occasionally they will get curious and they'll come ask to clear up, because, you know, growing up in a family with that many people in it, eventually someone gets the nerve to go ask and see if this story is actually true, because, you know, it's getting pretty far out. And so you get to clear the grapevine up a little bit once in a while like that. When the community as a collective actually wants, well, just getting tired of the drama story. You know, it's really entertaining. I'm sure you can imagine the story.
Oh, yeah.
That can come up. So it's a really entertaining story. You don't really want to, I guess, what's the word, destroy the storyline before you went to all the ends of it. So it creates a lot of opportunity for everyone to examine a lot of things. And it's all fine, because, I mean, by definition, almost 100% of it is complete fabrication. And so it takes on a life of its own, and it allows the entire extended family time to process all of these things that are in their field. They're things that are actually their own personal projection. They can project it on an imaginary me who has no charge about it and a neutral perspective, and they are allowed to use, I guess it's not using me, but it's using the story as a place to process.
And Larry doesn't have to put that on, because it has nothing to do with him, truly. It's not his at all. And, you know, and when you take the power out of someone going, oh, Larry, you did this, then it doesn't matter, because he's being Larry, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. That's a really excellent part about it when you look at it, because most respond in a way of reaction to false information. You know, someone's telling the story about you and they feel a real strong need to defend themselves against that. And that
that energy hasn't really existed in this family, this extended family, because of the nature of moving Aboriginal, original cultures away from their oral history into a written history, to divorce and distract and change and interrupt and disrupt the entire oral history process. All of the things that kept that, which in a sense was a soul family, together, how do you just divide it so they're all separate again? So essentially it's correcting that separation from source.
It is. I mean, the whole system of domination control is about separating us from source, from one another, just separation, division from one end to the other, and injecting this information about soul family back into the collective is correcting the most damaging division of all, which is the one between us and our soul families and our DNA families. It's all mm-hmm. part of the same mix.
Yeah, I like to think of it that, you know, your DNA family is a place where kind of gives you a lot of programming, okay? And then you move into soul family, right? Because after 18 or some years, you become independent. So soul family is a place where you go and start searching your true divinity. Now, you know, because in the DNA family doesn't support it, only unique, special family that are open in spirituality practices, okay? And I tend to see this from parents that are spiritual or light workers. But that's not as typical, okay? The typical family is more, okay, you do your, you know, materialistic world, how you're programmed, and then soul family, when you move away from that, right, you go into the soul family, it's a place where you truly seek within yourself, starting to look within yourself, holding up the mirror and go within, and then also learning to start to connect with your divinity. That's why soul family, as Andrew said, is more powerful when you are with your soul family, because they hold each other's, you know, mirrors and helping each other how to communicate with others. As you communicate to others, you're also communicating within yourself and opening up that heart space, allowing you to rise to a higher consciousness. It's hard for you to do that with family because it comes with biases. A lot of it, okay, biases. And that's where it's much more difficult. That's why when I say once you go out to the soul family, you heal, you master that, okay, and then you go back to your family and test it out. How do you manage? How do you get along? You know, like Katie said, now when she comes, you know, home, she talks to her father. If he say, Katie, I don't understand what you say, she's okay with that. Before, I'm sure she would get upset. You know, it would make her feel unloved. But now she's like, okay, I understand. You know, I respect your space. It's all good by me, you know, as long as I know that I'm good. Because I had, you know, psychology sessions with my soul family, and that's what it is. Soul family is a safe place where one can come in knowing that I'm not here to harm you and I'm here for, you know, open communication. It's a psychology space.
Pretty incredible. Opportunity for personal experience,
yeah.
Extraordinary actually, quite extraordinary. Because
yeah.
You couldn't. If you just randomly selected a group of friends, which
mm-hmm.
is quite often what happens, you know, you end up hanging. You know, if we say we hang out with our
mm-hmm.
friends, well,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're forming a little social group there. What yeah. are the chances of that being successful?
Yeah.
If they're not soul family in the way that we're describing, it's random, completely
right.
random.
With friends, and this is typical, okay, this is why Andrew was like, this is like the first time soul family is allowed, because you're connected on a higher conscious level, coming from a place of love. When you have your friends, you question each other's love, trust, and respect, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to even, you know.
They're not loving themselves, and then you've got other friends that don't love themselves, so this whole cycle of gossip, backstabbing occur, and then you get hurt, then you move on to the next one. It's not of a come from a love, unconditional love platform,
no.
You see?
No,
yeah, but
no.
It is, and some people would say, Chris, that, oh, what you guys are doing, soul family, are nothing more than cult. It's not a cult. Okay, if you want to say that, then you shouldn't have friends, like groupies of friends that you hang out with, you know. your social group, your book club groups, right, your cooking group, then you can call that as a cult. Cult is anytime you gather people together, but the connotation of that implies that there's a lot of negative activity that comes with it,
yeah.
But it's not. It's just a group of people are here to psychoanalyze each other in a safe, loving space.
And not only that, you know, in cults, you can observe the behavior of a cult and you can see where the usury is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see any of it here. I don't see any of it. It's a co-creation.
Mm-hmm. Co-creation.
It's all by agreement. So you can't even begin to compare the two situations. But, you know, people like to judge on superficial elements. They don't observe closely and, you know, before they judge. In fact, they really should be judging anyway, but they do. And they will jump to the conclusion quite readily. And of course, we're trained to do that because that's the way the media works. You know, examine things superficially, jump to a conclusion, label it, and move on.
Yeah, it takes a lot of self-control and discipline. A lot of discipline.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. There's a whole lot of elements to what's going on in the dynamic that
mm-hmm.
aren't things that we are encouraged to embody,
right?
Through our, you know, if you want to call it, the parenting that goes on.
Yeah, and it goes in cycle, unfortunately.
Mm. It does.
It goes in the cyclic cycle. Yeah.
We seem to have reached a new cycle.
Mm-hmm.
This new point where this whole concept is actually possible, feasible, and in fact desirable. At this point in time, but because the energetics are all pointing that way, the shift in the planetary emphasis away from this old system to something new,
mm-hmm.
and it's a case of, you know, well, okay, we know that the old system is going to fall away because it's done.
Yeah.
So what's going to replace it? What are we looking at? And this is what's appeared in front of us.
And Chris, I wanted to shed some light for you. You had asked Katie and Larry if they are a romantic couple. There's a reason for you to ask that, and it's not your old paradigm asking that, okay? Because what happened is Larry and Katie have basically worked a lot, okay, in communication and working on within themselves to a point where they clear a lot of old stuff and connecting at the heart chakra level. Because of that, in unity, okay, now that's where they are, okay, as a soul family, without the sexual intercourse whatsoever, okay? Now you look at a normal average couple. A couple will go into a marriage when they have sex and all of that stuff. That's where it's called love. They connect at each other, including a sex partner part. Okay, but love has to exist between that too. So when we go around and we meet people, you can automatically feel it if they're a couple or if not. And based on the energy, where is that coming from? It's actually coming from the heart chakra. Okay, that's why you automatically ask, are you guys in a relationship? Because in your past, you have seen most couple connect on the heart level because they are in a romantic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, Larry and Katie, they're in a soul family and already connected without the sex. That's why you ask that.
Mm.
You see, the key here is connecting at heart chakra. That's the difference with soul family. That's the difference. And when you connect that, you join in. And Larry could be in Russia, and Katie could still be in Seattle, and they can continue to communicate with each other on the heart chakra without direct Skype, phone, or emails.
Mm.
It's easy for them to connect at the heart level.
Yeah, it's just that's the way it felt to me when I observed what was going on between them, just the interactions between them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it felt like, what I would consider to be a... an involved couple. And, you know, this is just my learning path. At this point in time, I'm being exposed to something I've never observed before. So
mm-hmm.
new rules need to apply. And it's actually a really good point you make there. It's the connection through the heart chakra that I'm feeling
mm-hmm.
when I see their interactions.
Yeah, because we're taught that way.
We are.
And it's okay to acknowledge that. Now you acknowledge it. The next time you see a couple, you're like, oh, is this a soul family connection, you know, or is this a romantic couple? You're going to ask yourself those questions and you'll get your answer.
Yeah.
Now you know how to decipher.
Yeah, and it means you'd have to, you know, observe closely to if you needed to make that determination, or you could simply ask them. It's another way of doing it. But it just means there's an extra question that you now have to actually mull over when you're sort of looking at what's going on around you. And, well, that's just another part of the tapestry that's appearing.
Yeah, and when you say you ask questions, you're asking yourself, it's almost like you are asking them, you know, face-to-face. Hey, are you guys couple? Hey, are you guys couple? But instead of doing directly face-to-face, and as you know, it's not, you know, correct manner to go and ask people in their private business, right? But you're asking within yourself, and then you give yourself answer. No matter what, you're still asking. The question is, do you do it out, you know, verbatimly, directly up to them, or you do it within yourself, asking your higher consciousness for the answer? And that is where how another method of developing your intuition.
Mm.
Okay, so it allows you to become more awakened
practice. We have to. I actually had this last night. I was having a conversation with some friends about who are light workers, and they said to me, are you asking the questions? Are you actually asking for the information? And I shamefacedly had said, well, not often enough. Because they've actually told me many times, you've got to ask those questions of yourself to get, you actually have to ask them of yourself, you know, with intention of getting some information. And that's part of developing the personal intuition, as you just said, is to ask those questions. Because you will get answers. They will come to you. And the more experience you've got at asking and answering, you know, the better it will be.
Yeah, if you wanted to even carry further, Chris, then you can ask yourself, why is it for you to eager to know that? Go within deeper. Peel those layers of onions. Why are you asking this question? Does it matter for you to know? So your answer may be, well, it's for my learning experience and also practice and intuition. Oh, okay, thank you. You always want to thank when you get the answer, okay? Mm. And then when you get it, oh, thank you, good job, and then you
Excellent.
Move on.
Yeah.
You always want to acknowledge that. You're building trust. That's what you're doing. Trust within yourself for the answers.
Mm, more trust building. Nikki, we've got some callers. And is Andrew still there? Do you still have any voice left, Andrew?
Any voice left for a question or two?
I barely have any voice left right now at this point in time. So I'm going to leave it to Larry and Katie to talk for the remainder of the show here.
No problem, Andrew. Well, hopefully you'll be back on deck on Tuesday for the next show. That'll be good. And so we'll leave you to recover and just enjoy the rest of the morning. And Katie and Larry, we'll press on with a little bit more. In fact, Nikki, do you want to? We'll take one or two calls because there's people that have been waiting here for a long time. We'll just help them as we can.
Okay.
Okay.
Somebody has healing questions. Somebody's asking for healing.
Area code 505. Could we have your name and your question, please? Area code 505. Okay, we'll pop them back on hold. Oh. Hello, is it Angelina?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
This is her.
This is Angelina. Very good. Did you have a question for Nikki?
I was wondering what kind of questions we could ask.
Nikki, what questions would you like to take?
Typical cookie cutter question is, you know, if something happened to you, okay, whether it's good or bad, you want to ask, what is the lesson in this for me? Okay, what is the lesson that I look at?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next question goes, is, yes? You want to say, you want to ask that. If, for example, somebody yelling at you, okay, treat you illly, and you ask, what is the lesson in this? You know, is my, then you ask yourself, what have I done? What did I say or do that may provoke this? Is it mine? Okay, is this my energy or is it somebody else's energy? Okay. If not, then you say yes, no, yes, no. Try to stick with yes, no type of question and answer because it's much simpler. Okay. Because we are not, our mouth cannot speak as fast as our mind and energy. Just think of it light versus, you know, light, his speed of light is much faster, okay, than throwing a ball across the street. So you want to question that. And those are my favorite questions that I always like to ask. What are my lesson? And, you know, is this mine? Is this something that comes from me? And how is it that I can do better? Okay, and or how is it that I can do better in change the solution, the outcome?
Okay, may I ask regards to my life purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps a blueprint? I'm just curious, because just to be honest, I feel like...
I can tell you right now that you need a lot. I can tell you right now you need a lot of healing, because my right leg is like in like gets cold right now. You have imbalance of energies flowing through you, and you need a lot of healing. It's like your inside your chest right now is like screaming out loud, all the way out, like projection of energy, like projecting through your the back of you. Your back, like behind your scapula.
Oh.
Okay.
Actually, I feel a lot of tightness there.
Yeah, and it's screaming right now. Yeah, and it would be easier for you to breathe, okay, and have more clarity once you clear this out. Okay, you're in anguish. That's the word, anguish. Okay, my right leg right now is cold. Cold.
Oh, wow.
Ice cold.
Hmm.
Okay,
does that
so
mean anything in particular?
It means your flow of energy is not in balance, okay, and you got some a lot of emotional issues to deal with. Go and clean your closet, basically. And don't feel bad. That's typical. When you're human, you got to go clean your closet. Part of routine. So there's nothing to feel ashamed about that. Some people are.
Okay.
They don't want to reveal that, okay? But don't be. It's very normal. Everyone carries something with them. And life is a journey, you know?
Mm-hmm. You can't ever
so,
be too sad or guilty.
I can't hear you. You've broken off.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said, well, you just can't feel too bad or guilty about things you've done.
No, it's not about not feeling guilty. You have to go in and why you are guilty. It's not about do's and don't. Those things, throw them out. The do's and the don't, those in your vocabulary, throw them out. Comb and ask why. Why is this happening? Why am I feeling guilty? Okay, and that's how you peel the layers of onions. And you go deep, very, very deep. Until then, you find the root cause of the problem. And then all things that shouldn't be there, the do's and the don'ts, they just get released. You don't work on, I need to release this. No. It's about finding the root cause, and everything that don't belong there will get released on its own. Releasing is like forcing something that is not ready.
Mm.
Okay? It's like a horse is starving, so it's going to sit there and eat a lot of hay, and you're trying to pull it away. It's not going to go. It's still hungry. It needs to be fed.
Mm-hmm.
Until you realize that, you let it get fed up. He's full, and you can take him wherever you want, and he'll go with you. That's the release. Okay?
Well, that's beautiful. Thank you. Is
you're
there
welcome.
Any, like, from, I guess, your impression, are you able to tell what I'm here to do or what I could give a service to people? As a career, that's where I'm like really
a
stuck.
Career? Did you say career or creator?
Mm-hmm.
You're breaking off, I'm sorry. Career-wise,
I like creating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what do you like to do?
Well, I really like art. I know that. And I love the holistic healing arts. Although I know I need more of that until I can actually get into that kind of thing. But I really don't know what I'm here, as far as a career-wise, what I could do for people.
Okay, I'll tell you this much, okay? When we have free will, we can change and we can be creative. Okay, if you want to go into healing arts, holistic, whatever, there's many ways of doing it. Okay, but most importantly, you have to go and clean yourself first, because the first level of master healer is to clean oneself. Once you achieve that, then you can go to the next level of cleaning others. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because if I give you too much, you're going to be overwhelmed. And then what it's called reverse psychology. It happens all the time. Because if I have to tell you, you're going to get overwhelmed, and then you're going to delay the process. So your job right now is to clean yourself, achieve the master level one as a healer. Mm-hmm. Clean yourself, okay? Through that cleaning process, you will discover what you like and what you don't like. Because of free will, you can say, well, you know what? I made to be a teacher. And you can like being a teacher and doing that for 2 years, and that's all you can handle, because you're going to be like, I want to do something else. You see what I mean? So you can have a multiple, and then you mix. Once you get all of that skill set in different parts of lifetime, okay, then you can take that and use it to create something else more. You see what I mean? You can literally use art and holistic healing all in one. It's called art therapy. Using your intuitive skills. You see what I mean? Part of being human on earth is to have the human experience. So you need to go and discover. Okay, it's easy for me to spoon feed you, but that beats the whole purpose of being here as a human being. Okay? You can go and experience and enjoy. The key is to enjoy, have fun, and be thankful for the experiences. And then you move on, and then you move on. And you will realize, wow, I've earned my degrees. And that, you can be creative. Do whatever you want with it.
Mm.
Okay? But for now, considering art therapy. If you like art and then you like holistic healing, art therapy is great. But there is a traditional way of doing art therapy, but you can modify it and add a lot more to intuitive stuff into it. You see what I mean? Be creative.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much for your question.
Thank
we'll
you so much, Katie.
Live. Yep. Thank you very much. We'll pop you back on hold. And I think we have time for one more shortish call, Nikki. So we'll take the next caller. Area code 321. We have your name and your question, please.
Hello. My name is Patricia. I'm sorry you caught me in the middle of eating.
That's okay, Patricia.
I was just wondering, Nikki, just not really a general question, but what is the best advice that you could give me right now? What are you sensing?
Okay, what are you sensing? Okay, can you tell me about how your day went? What did you do this morning?
I had a regular working day today, and this morning I woke up to the alarm clock. Tried to process my sleeping time. I didn't have much time to do that, so I went to the bathroom and the shower, and then came downstairs and took care of my little dog.
I got you. Thank you, Patricia. Okay. Do you have a lot of stress at work at times?
I do and I don't. What I'm going through right now is if I should be at a job at all. I'm really feeling a strong pull towards
I feel like you need some vacation time.
Well, I am, and I'm going to Sarasota also. I've gone to different events, and nothing has felt right to me so far, and I'm really feeling the strong pull. I live in Florida, so that'll be real convenient.
Okay.
And
what time do you have to be up in the morning when you go to work?
That's 6 in the morning.
Okay, because I feel like you can sleep in a little bit more. It's actually a continuation of your dream time. I don't know how your schedule is, how you can rearrange it, because you literally can go sleep even a little bit more till about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock a.m., because you will still have your dream time, and that is when you're doing healing in your dream time.
Yeah, I've had
okay, this is how you access.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know how you can resolve your schedule. The reason I asked you about with your stress at times, because you feel like, I don't want to get up. Don't want to get up. I could be here more. It's because you're doing a lot of dream time. That's like activity. Everybody has a different time slot or portal when they're opening. Some people have galactic portal time. It's like your job, you know, your galactic job role is like at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, your job starts like 5 o'clock all the way to 9 and 10 a.m.
Yeah, has there been a
job hour? That's when your portals are open.
A little longer. Has anybody reported dream time of seeing orange and like an orange, gold, yellowish castle?
No. Everyone all have different job positions, so it's going to be different experiences.
Okay.
Because your job is different. Everyone has different experience, but if you can, this is important for you. Because you're not feeling fulfilled, if you can, try to make schedule where you can stay in bed till 8, 9, 10 a.m. and then work maybe in the afternoon or something. Okay,
yeah.
I know it's not practical, but then your soul is feeling incomplete and your body is stressed out by that. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Your body
yeah.
is stressed out by that. So if you want to do quick energy galactic work hour, you can. You're welcome to get one of the cones or the disc. It will actually help speed up the process much faster because it puts you in that quantum field that gets you there faster to do the job. You know, it's like saying if you meditate typically an hour to feel fulfilled, when you meditate with these the nano disc, 10 minutes is like equivalent to an hour. So imagine if that's the case, then when you're doing your galactic dream time work, that's all it takes, 10 minutes.
Okay, that's great. Well, thank you very much,
okay.
Nikki, and thank you for everything you do for everybody.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Patricia. I'll pop you back on hold. And Nikki, we've got about 7 minutes left in the show, and I'd first like to... So as a wrap-up, Katie and Larry, are you still on the line with us?
Oh, yeah, we're really loving it.
Excellent. Look, I'd just like to thank you guys for sharing your experiences with us today. It's been really exceptional.
And yeah, I wanted to share, too, about the Tinanos that Nikki's talking about. I use those myself, and absolutely what she says is my experience as well.
Would you like to share about the lower entities that you had the experience with? With a gentleman?
We had an individual to join the group who was something of an active portal with maybe, 100 entities in him. And at one point or another, we made the choice where we offered the choice to him to decide what he liked. His choice was, I want a ride out of here. So I gave him a ride out of here, and I had my phone with me, and it was pointed at him. And I don't know, about after 15, 20 minutes, he wanted me to pull over to the side of the road. He really, really had to go bad. I don't know which number, one or two, but he went in the bushes, so I'm assuming he needed privacy. Another 10 minutes is back to that. Not even 10 minutes down the road is more. I had to go back out there and do it again. And he was just feeling just horrible, uncomfortable. I couldn't figure out what's wrong with the eat. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It was an hour ride to get to where we're going. And by the time we got out and he was ready to go. He's like, I don't really want to hang out anymore. Thanks for the ride. See you later. Bye. And this was somebody who was intending to be a Klingon and to stay in with him and be supported and cared for and housed and fed and everything else. And he basically voluntarily decided the best thing for him was to leave. And maybe, Nikki, you can fill in why that experience occurred so much with the cone, especially with it pointed at him.
Yeah, the cone will have effect on people who are possessed with demons, satans, and low entities, and whether there are some human that are being born from their previous as being demons. Yes, they do exist. This is not a joke. I've dealt a lot with these cases, and some people, when I inform them, they do not like to know the truth. You know, the truth will set you free. And until then, you continue getting sick. A lot of the people that are being possessed or born as in that aspect will have diseases like lupus, diseases that you can't cure, okay? And that's some past life stuff. Being demons or really dark witches and things like that when they deal at that level. Because everyone here is born to have opportunity for ascension. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you are dealing with your own mirror. You know, you might have a lot of dark, negative thoughts, but it doesn't mean you project it on other people. You can still be kind and loving. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. I'm just saying that there are those that are born in that. So many times when these people, entities included, are exposed to this T-nanotechnology, they hate it. They don't like it. And they will have, the side effect of that is headaches, stomach pain, and they just can't stand the energy. Mm. And if you keep pointing at it, and if they are upset by demons, the demons will come out. They will come out.
And will they return, Nikki, or will they leave permanently?
They will leave, but they will try to come back. That's why you want to have the wear the technology, because I have pendants and discs. You can wear them and protect yourself.
Mm.
You will have to. And to get rid of them, you have to require somebody who knows how to get rid of them, but with love and compassion, not with sword. That's not how we do it.
But you can actually use the technology to assist that process.
Yes, you can get them out, perform exorcism. If you look at, there's a movie, right? Exorcism, I mean, traditionally you have a priest, you know, days and night to do, you know, praying and blah, 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 all that stuff. It's like, you don't need that. Literally, like, in 30 minutes, you can perform exorcism without priests or anybody. You just have to have them sleep on top of the cones, and then for about 15 minutes, then you put them in a sacred triangle, made out of cones, put them in there, and bam, they usually come out. And they'll float around. They can't go back to the body because the body is such a high frequency.
So where will they go?
Floating around, go whatever, or trying to find all the hosts when they can, and then come back. Because there is a contract between your soul and them. That's why they come back.
Mm.
Okay?
And if they can't get back in, will they eventually dissipate or leave permanently?
Yeah. They will leave permanently unless you get somebody to come and send them to the light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Quite a process.
Send them to the light. Yes.
It's quite a
you know,
process.
I've talked to people that have done, you know, house cleaning, clearing. They call Archangel Michael, whatever, lift up the house. And let me tell you, there are different kind of demons, and you need to know which kind, what kind. If you look at, is it Solomon's seal? Yeah, those are the seals of all the different demons. You have to know them, identify their names, call them out. But I don't do that. I do a shortcut.
Yeah, so, you like it fast, I gather. Yep, quick.
Well, it's because of who I am, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I'm a benevolent being. Because of that, you override a lot of stuff, okay? It comes with great responsibility for that. But people who are just, okay, I'm just a light worker, I'm not... You know, I just wanted to do this as a profession. And then they have to do the long route. They have to go through the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like saying, hey, I'm starting college, freshman. You know, you can't just jump to PhD level. You have to earn it. And I've earned my part through many million years.
Indeed. Well, Nikki, I think one of the things we can do in a future show is actually go into the T-nano technology a bit more, because it is proving to be extremely useful
yeah.
in this particular time. One question I have for you is that at some point there's going to be a big upward shift for the whole collective in terms of vibration. At that point, will most of these demons have to leave? Will they all leave? Or are they still going to be around to bug us?
They will have to leave. They will have choices. Do you want to continue? Then you have to do your healing. You have to do all your processing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If not, they're going to be disappeared. They're going to vanquish.
Gone.
Somehow gone.
Excellent. Well, either way, we won't have to put up with it by the sound of it, which would be
yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
Like the New Earth right now, they can't even go in there.
Mm.
Okay, so they're going to stay behind this old earth, and eventually the old earth's going to disappear. Where do you think they're going to go?
Nowhere. Yep.
Nowhere.
Good stuff.
Okay, but everyone on this earth, as long as you hold the human skin suit technology that comes with divinity in your heart chakra, you have the opportunity to reach enlightenment and ascension.
Mm. Big message there.
Yes.
Well, Nikki, we're actually at the end of the show at this point in time. And I'd like to first of all, if Andrew's there and he's got any voice left at all, Andrew, thanks for coming on the show, and thanks for putting up with the scratchy voice and still contributing. Really appreciate it. And hope you have a quick recovery.
Yes, he's smiling, but he can't talk.
Yeah, now give that voice a rest. Give that voice a rest. We'll catch up soon. And Larry and Katie, again, thank you so much for sharing. No doubt we'll hear from you again and continue to share the experience.
Thank you, Chris.
Pleasure, Chris.
Bye, guys. Thank
you,
Chris.
You're most welcome. Okay, thanks very much. Bye to everyone in the chat room. It's been a really good show, really interesting stuff going on, really important stuff because it's what's coming up for a lot of us. And we will see you all at the next show, which will be Tuesday, 1 p.m. Western Pacific time in the United States. Just to give you a framework there, look out for it on the website, and we'll hopefully continue next week on next Thursday, particularly with the human instruction manual that you didn't receive when you were born. And on Tuesday, yet to be announced, look out for it on the webpage. Excellent stuff, and we'll see everybody next time.
Next time. Thank you, Chris. From Kauai, it's